Mr. Gorti, thanks for speaking to us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
So this is a story that really defies belief in certain instances, that it's gotten to the point where you have a service provider threatening to throw the entire criminal justice system into disarray and possible collapse. Let me just first get your sentiments on that.
Well, you will recall that last week we actually expressed our shock and horror at that kind of situation where you have one service provider that can collapse the entire criminal justice system of a country and brought into question the kind of contracts that were signed between CETA and that particular service provider. We were supposed to have held an engagement with the police and CETA on this very matter just before we went on recess, based on the letter that SAP sent to us on the 28th of February. But we have postponed that. And we think when we reopen next week, it will be one of the entities that we're going to prioritize so that we can get clarity on exactly what is happening between that company, CETA, and the police.
Mr. Gorti, I remember when IPED was appearing before SCOPA in Parliament, and you know, some of the details that came out of that particular briefing were equally hair-raising, and this particular matter was highlighted, and there was talk about you know, a further prejudice suffered by the police to the tune of 54 million rand and other software procurement from monitoring things like social media sites during Fees Must Fall. All of those issues were highlighted very starkly. So where is SCOPA right now with regard to follow-ups and more information regarding these incidents?
Well, that's correct. You remember that EPDS appeared before us so that they could brief us on their investigations. But equally, when CETA and the police appeared before us, they themselves raised concerns and doubts about some of the contracts that have been entered into with this particular company. Which they were actually probing. I think CETA has engaged Bowman and Gilfillan, legal firm, to do an investigation on the contracts that they've signed, amongst others, with this company. We are hoping, I think by next week Tuesday, we will have decided on which date are we calling the police, just as we have other entities that are within our radar screens, you know, like your SAA, PIC, and the like. But we want to prioritize the police because of the obvious danger and threat to national security that is posed by this kind of arrangement. Our understanding is that CETA procured from this company services or equipments which the police should utilize. But from what is being reported, and I've seen a report today that suggests that they might be heading to court, it's almost as if the police are renting these equipments, because then these guys can close them within a wink of an eye. It's not as if the police have bought them, they own them. That company has been contracted to do servicing, which is different from operating those instruments. So it's a bit confusing, and that's why I would want them to come and clearly explain to us what is the nature of the contract. How can one, a former apartheid policeman, threaten the entire country that within a wink of an eye we can disable the entire criminal justice system? It's horrific, to say the least.
And just listening to some of the utterances from the police, would you accept an explanation whereby they would try to distance themselves from CETA in this regard?
Well, insofar as the initial contracting, you know that IT systems, equipments for the totality of government, they are procured through CETA, yes. It is CETA that procures on behalf of the police, just as public works would lead in construction for other departments. But the SAPS is not a total spectator in the process, or all interested departments are not total spectators in the process. If you check on the FDA contracts, you'll find that the primary contract will be done with CETA, and then you will now have a maintenance contract, which is then entered into with the SAPS for that initial contract entered with CETA. So these things are all intertwined. That's why when we call for a hearing, we don't just call CETA and leave the police, or call the police and leave CETA, because they are all intertwined.
Well, Mr. Gordy, we will leave it there. Thank you so much for your time. Mr. Themba Gordy is the spokesperson of the chairperson, rather, of SCOPA in Parliament.
There's nothing we love sharing more than knowledge. SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader.
And our report today by SABC senior economics reporter Nompumelelo Siziba.
The local currency has been on a weakening streak today, falling by 0.6% against the US dollar and now trading above 12 rand against the greenback. This on the back of global markets becoming risk-averse in light of Donald Trump's threats to drop missiles in Syria. This goes against Russia's earlier warning that any missiles directed towards Syria would be shot down, as well as the positions from which they were launched. Risk aversion usually results in the likes of the US dollar and Japanese yen strengthening as investors pile into so-called safe haven assets and move away from assets perceived as more risky, like emerging markets like South Africa. The All Share Index was trading in the black earlier in the session, but has since joined European markets trading in negative territory. The only counters keeping their head above water are financials. Mining counters, which had a good run yesterday, are firmly in the red. The weakness may come from a stronger US dollar. When that currency firms, commodities denominated in the US dollar then become less attractive for buyers holding foreign currency. The oil price did tick up yesterday on concerns that any conflict in the Middle East could affect oil supply, with Brent crude oil breaching the $72 a barrel level, which also gave energy shares a lift. However, the price has since receded by about $1, which is still relatively high. Despite investors becoming more cautious or risk-averse under the current circumstances, the gold price has weakened slightly. Usually, when fear seizes the market, gold is one of the assets considered to be a safe haven to which funds can take refuge, but seemingly not today. And in company news, as Steinhoff sells a number of assets to plug its debt hole, it sold 200 million shares in Steinhoff Africa Retail, netting 3.75 billion rand. That now takes Steinhoff's stake in Star to 71% from 77%. Institutions bought the share at a 2.65% discount at 18 rand 75 a share. Before the revelation of accounting irregularities in December, Steinhoff's share price was around 56 rand a share. You can now pick up the same for around 2 rand 54. That's a massive devaluation on that stock. Nompumelelo Siziba, SABC News.
Two children aged 5 and 7 are fighting for their lives after a house they were sleeping in was allegedly petrol bombed in a village outside Vuani in Limpopo. Another 5-year-old died while the grandmother has since been discharged from hospital. The incident was allegedly triggered by a family feud. Rudzani Chivase has the details.
Ntambuzeni Chikosi, the mother of three, is still reeling from shock of losing one of her twin daughters. The 5-year-old succumbed to serious injuries of burn wounds. Her twin sister and her cousin, who escaped death, are still in a critical condition at Mankwenyi Hospital outside Polokwane.
The incident took place on the 13th of March. I had left my mother with kids. My mother then decided to visit the family of my younger sister, and they had received some threats. She then took the kids along. During the night, when they were asleep, the house was petrol bombed. I lost one of my twin children. My mother got injured, and the two other children are still in a critical condition at Mankwenyi Hospital.
Chikosi says the incident happened just after a family relative made some death threats. She is surprised that police are not making arrests despite the evidence she gave them.
There's a person that we suspect is responsible for the incident. We told the police about her. They even assured us that we have a strong case and they will make arrests, but all in vain. The suspect told me before the incident took place that there will be death soon in the family. She made death threats before this happened. That made us to suspect that she might be responsible for the incident, but police are doing nothing about it.
A community spokesperson, Humrani Nemakavani, says police only started acting last week after residents threatened to take the law into their hands.
We then sat down as the community and wrote a memorandum to the police station in which we threatened to take the law into our own hands. Police then started taking the statements from the owner of the bombed house and the mother of the kids on Monday. An investigation officer assured us that they have a strong case and they will effect an arrest soon, but surprisingly, nothing has happened.
He says on Monday they had a meeting with the station commander of Vuani police station, and from there police changed their tune.
Yesterday we had a meeting with the station commander of Vuani police station. What surprised us is that they have now changed the tune. They said they now need to send the docket to the director of prosecution for a decision before they could make any arrest.
Kenel Mwatsengwepe says they are investigating a case of arson, murder and attempted murder, and no one has been arrested so far. He says police investigations are still continuing. Ruzan Chibase, SABC Radio News, Mvelaphanda, Limpopo.
Meanwhile, in KwaZulu-Natal, investigations are underway to establish the cause of the fire that burned a Willerton house in Pietermaritzburg this morning, killing five people. Two children and three adults had died in that fire. And for more on this, we join on the line by Emergency Response Unit ER24 spokesperson Werner Vermaak. Thanks for speaking to us this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to your listeners.
Vernon, what are the preliminary investigations showing as to the cause of the fire?
Well, at this stage, from what ER24 can understand, is that the fire did occur in the front area of the house. However, what the exact cause is not yet known through to us. We handed the scene over shortly after the declaration of the family through to the local fire department as well as the police that were on scene to start the investigations. We also know that they've spent some hours after the incident on scene still gathering evidence and will be conducting the investigation to determine the exact cause for this fire.
At this stage, is there any indication as to the ages of the children?
The one child, what we do know, is approximately 15 years old. The other child, we're not 100% sure at the age of the stage, and handed over through to the police for an autopsy. And after the autopsy was done, they'll be able to confirm the exact age for us. Unfortunately, there weren't any other family members or friends on the scene for assistance with identification or age identification at that stage.
And with regard to the extent of damage to the property overall, Werner, are you able to give us some detail on that?
When we arrived on scene, the whole part of the house or front part of the house was well alight. From what the paramedics and firefighters explained on scene is that majority of the house was left in ruins, and it is likely that the complete house sustained severe damage and would be unlikely to be recovered.
Werner, thanks for the update. That was Werner Vermaak, who's a spokesperson for Emergency Response Unit ER24.
Something has come naturally to SAFM, like being SA's news and information leader. SAFM, 104 to 107.
Well, your comments on 40938, that's the SMS line number, and you can also tweet or Facebook us at Updated Noon using the hashtag Updated Noon, and you can leave us a WhatsApp voice note on 0826923909. National Police Commissioner Ketla Sithole says that the discovery of a drug manufacturing lab in Orlando West in Soweto is due to improved crime intelligence gathering. Police raided the property just after midnight following getting a tip-off from the community. Residents say that no one lives in the house, but they've seen people going in and out of the property from time to time. No one has been arrested thus far, and Mr. Sithole has hailed the discovery of the drugs lab as a major breakthrough in the fight against drugs. Our reporter Angela Bolawana now joins us on the line for further details. Angela, first and foremost, since the commissioner has visited that crime scene, have there been any new developments or any further information released to the public?
No, Sakina, there hasn't been any further information released. Remember that the raid started at midnight and has been going on throughout. What the police are saying is that nobody has been arrested at this time because it seems that no one actually lives here.
So what drugs are believed to have been manufactured at this facility?
At the moment, right now, Sakina, we are at the house inside and there is like a mountain of powder in two rooms. The white powder is a chemical that is used in the manufacturing of man drugs. So the police were trying to explain to us is that it's almost the final product before you put it in the presser and convert it into pills. So there is two packets of two big packets of the tablets already manufactured, but there's a lot of powder in two rooms that is on the floor.
Angela, the police say that they got a tip-off from the community, but have they established who that house belongs to?
Well, at the moment, they're not giving us a lot of detail, saying that some of it will actually just jeopardize the investigation. But it doesn't look like they know at this moment who the house belongs to. But they're saying that they came in the morning and there was no one here, but the community has since told us that nobody lives here.
And beyond that, do the community have any further details or are they keeping mum about what they know about other activities there?
Well, they were quite crazy, but what they're saying, they were all really surprised that this is actually a drug lab. They're saying a lot of young people are on drugs, but they had no idea that they actually come from this house, this particular house. And they're saying also that there's high crime rates and they're assuming it's because of the high drug use in this area.
Well, Angela, thanks for that update. Our reporter, Angela Bolawana, reporting to us from that drug lab that was discovered in Orlando West in Soweto, and police still investigating there. Nobody lives at the house, it would seem, but they are trying to establish who owns that property. And just taking a quick look at some of your messages regarding the stories we've covered thus far. And Zaki Matebula says, with regard to the story about the FDA and the SAPS says, so this means that our intelligence is renting data from other companies. Why is it that SAPS don't own their own equipment? And Mike in Newland says, poor Themba Gordhi in a constant state of shock, ongoing corruption in state institutions, and yet allows ANC ministers to treat Scopa like dirt. Edward Themba says, this issue of petrol bombs is really getting out of hand. What did those little souls do to deserve this? Cops must do their jobs and arrest and lock up the culprits. And Morata Khaudi says, most feared law professor Peter Havenka has fallen at UNISA. He's suspended pending investigation. And even white colleagues are saying thank you to Black Forum for the fall of the mighty Havenka, as he was superior over everyone at the institution, including white people. And of course, we spoke about that story on Tuesday there at UNISA. So this message there speaking to the latest developments in that regard. Brings us up to 12:30 and time for the latest news headlines with Utsile Tsako. And then we'll have a sports update with Brad Brown.
Thanks, Sakina. The headlines: the late diplomat George Nene has been hailed as the custodian of multilateralism and youth development at his memorial service at the Department of International Relations in Pretoria. Nene passed away last week. The police and owner of forensic data analysts have agreed to withdraw the police commissioner's urgent application to prevent FDA from switching the police IT systems off because of non-payment. If the systems are switched off, it could collapse the justice system. And Johannesburg police are on the hunt for those responsible for operating a drug lab at a house in Orlando West, Soweto. National Police Commissioner General Ketlas Tole says they raided the property following a tip-off from the community. Details at 1 o'clock.
Great stories told by great personalities. SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader.
And time now for a sports update with Brad Brown. And South Africa going quite well there at the Commonwealth Games, amongst other things, Brad.
Thank you very much, Sakina. Yep, but more gold for Team South Africa. We've just won a gold and a silver thanks to Ndodomzi, Jonathan Ntutu and Hilton Langenhoefen. They paired up, won gold and silver respectively in the T12 100-meter final just a few seconds ago. Those two medals have moved Team South Africa into fourth on the medal table with a total of 32 medals consisting of 11 gold, 9 silver and 12 bronze. Wanda Nell claimed bronze in the women's 400-meters hurdles less than an hour ago, while Alan Hatherley won bronze in the men's mountain bike cross-country event. In the early hours of this morning, Christopher Patton, Tobias Buerta and Willem Viljoen defeated England 16-13 in the B6, B7 and B8 triples in the lawn bowls, and then Johannes Buerta claimed silver in the men's 74kg wrestling. Also earlier today, Caster Semenya won her 800-meter semi and is through to tomorrow's final. The South African netball team finished fifth that after they defeated Uganda 53-42. Colleen Pickett and Nicolene Neal have won their semi in the women's lawn bowls pairs. They guaranteed a medal in tomorrow's final. Be sure to be in front of your TV just before 2 today when Clarence Munyai runs in the 200-meter final. On to soccer now. Following their goalless draw against SuperSport United last night, Milutin Stredojevic believes Orlando Pirates can still win the APSA Premiership. Sundowns now have a 3-point lead atop the log and have a match in hand. Micho says at this stage of the season, all they have to do is believe and work hard.
To be mentally strong, this is something what big teams are supposed to be. And then physically fit, technically effective and tactically competitive. All these aspects are something what is injecting us with motivation to work harder, to improve more and to move our team where the way we want to play. And I'm convinced that such approach, never say die, never give up, will pay us back in matches ahead of us.
Also last night, Bidvest Wits were beaten 1-0 by Ajax Cape Town. In Champions League news, Gianluigi Buffon has slammed referee Michael Oliver for awarding Real Madrid a last-gasp penalty, saying, and quote, he has a rubbish bin instead of a heart. In a dramatic match, Juventus came back to 3-3 in the tie following their 3-0 first-leg defeat, but Cristiano Ronaldo slotted a penalty to hand the defending champions a 4-3 win on aggregate in injury time. Bayern Munich also advanced to the semis after at the expense of Sevilla. That semi-final draw takes place tomorrow. Europa League action to look forward to tonight. Sporting host Atletico, who lead 2-0 on aggregate. Lazio travel to Salzburg with a 4-2 lead. Olympic Marseille welcome RB Leipzig with a 1-0 deficit to overcome. And Arsene Wenger's Arsenal take a 4-1 lead to CSKA Moscow. With the diplomatic issues at hand, Arsene Wenger says football could be the bridge.
Sport can always play a positive role in life and in between countries as well. And that's why football is a good opportunity always to facilitate relations. And I'm convinced that tomorrow night will be absolutely normal.
Those matches kick off at 9:05 tonight. Sakina, if you think Kaizer Chiefs have it bad, the Chennai Super Kings have been ordered to play all their remaining 6 IPL home games 1,200 kilometres away in Pune. That after the players had shoes thrown at them and were threatened with snakes being unleashed into their stadium. Chennai has seen volatile protests over handling a water shortage crisis, with authorities saying they could not guarantee security at the Super Kings matches. And finally, in boxing, Anthony Joshua says $50 million, he will fight Deontay Wilder tomorrow, adding that the fight has to happen for boxing. Wilder accepted Joshua's invitation, made in the aftermath of his points victory over Joseph Parker, for a fight to become the undisputed heavyweight champion in the world. But negotiations are proving tricky. Joshua, who holds the IBF, WBA and WBO belts, says his team have made offers to the Americans' camp, but admits they are still awaiting a response. I am Brad Brown for SAFM Sport.
Well, Brad, for that purse, even I would fight him tomorrow.
Pick me.
And don't go giving Chiefs fans ideas, please. Thanks so much, Brad. We'll chat again tomorrow.
There's nothing we love sharing more than knowledge. SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader.
It's 24 minutes before one. Now, members of the African National Congress, the National Union of Mine Workers, Madikwa branch, and community members are picketing outside the Mecklenburg Magistrates Court in Burgersfort in Limpopo, where five suspects arrested for allegedly petrol bombing a bus at Driekop are making an appearance. Six mine workers were killed in the incident Monday last week. Our reporter Jabulani Baloyi is at the Mecklenburg Court, and he joins us on the line. Now, Jabulani, first and foremost, have there been any further developments, new developments in this case since we last spoke?
Good afternoon. Yes, there are some developments with regard to the case. We have seen police make known the details of the deceased who were killed in a bus tragedy that happened last week on Monday evening. We have seen that five of the deceased are from around Driekop, and the one is a Lesotho national.
So beyond that, you know, the charges, what sort of charges are they being brought against the five accused?
The five accused are facing six charges, each of murder, attempted murder, and malicious damage to property. During their appearance today, they were supposed to make their bail application, but however, the bail application has been postponed after the accused, all of them, have ditched or stopped using the services of the legal aid board lawyer and instead preferring to use a lawyer who they are going to pay on their own. The lawyer has indeed confirmed before the court today, Mr. Lekgapa Mahlakwana of Mahlakwana and Associates, that he is going to represent all the five accused henceforth, and as a result, he has asked for postponement so that he can consult with his clients in order to familiarize himself with the case before a bail application can be made.
And Jabulani, how far is the process of identifying the victims? Have all the families been notified about this?
Yes, we have spoken with the police spokesperson, Brigadier Mutlafelo Mujapilu, who has indicated after the court appearance of the suspect that they have contacted all the family members and that they have made sure that all the deceased who have been identified or the body or the remains are going to be released to respective families. So the families have been informed of the development, and we're now looking forward to hear from the families as to when are they going to make preparations or when are they going to lay to rest the remains of their deceased or their loved one.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for the update, Jabulani Baloyi, here on Update at Noon. And you can send us your views via SMS on 40938, tweet or Facebook us at Update at Noon using the hashtag Update at Noon, or you can leave us a WhatsApp voice note on 0826923909.
This is Naodi Ale. I will await the juicy details from Colin Manje when the State Capture Commission of Inquiry begins its work. It's quite unfortunate that Maine makes this confession about meeting with the Guptas very late. This is the same Maine who refused to meet with former public protector Madon Sena regarding state capture matters. It is unfortunate Guptas have not been good to him because they have now left him with a huge installment to take care of. That is for the mansion they secured for him.
Sakina, this Arthur Fraser, you know, I used to think Jacob Zuma has got nine lives, but this Arthur Fraser is like he's immortal, he can't die. This guy is the most corrupt individual I've ever known to work for SSA. But now, again, he's sabotaging the IG and yet he wants to get away with it. Can this guy just be arrested, please? Arthur Fraser needs to go to jail. Thank you.
Those are some of your comments on 0826923909, and you are most welcome to leave your message on there as well. It's 20 minutes before one. The South African Federation of Trade Unions, SAFTU, say that they refuse to accept the new proposed labor bill, which will see the rate of workers paid on an hourly basis remain at 20 rand. Now, they say that employees who work less than 40 hours per week will not make the monthly minimum monthly wage of 3,000 R1,500. Federation will be marching to Parliament in Cape Town today to raise their concerns about this particular matter. The Labour Relations Act, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, and the new National Minimum Wage Bill are being revised by members of the National Assembly. And we did discuss this particular matter at quite some length while I was still doing AM Live, and it's going to be interesting to hear what exactly they are planning to do regarding this. We're just unable to get through to the Western Cape convener of SAFTU, to Andre Adams, but we'll keep trying there, because certainly want to know what exactly they are pushing for today and where they will stop or what they will be pushing for beyond this. So we'll try and get hold of Andre Adams there. Andre Adams, and as soon as we do, we'll put him on air. And just moving along to another story, of course, and so much happening around the country, Patricia DeLille, and many of your comments this afternoon also centering around what's happening with Patricia DeLille and the DA. Many of you asking whether she actually needs permission from the DA to attend, you know, a memorial service, and also, you know, why the DA is actually pursuing this matter, because it was a memorial service. But I suppose the DA has, as they've indicated, have their own processes. So this story is still an unfolding one. I would love to hear from Patricia DeLille herself regarding what is going on there. And then Alpheus Mongao says, let's hope some SAPS members didn't leak the information to drug dealers in Orlando, because how is it that no one was found at the house? Members of the community did indicate, however, that nobody seems to be living permanently at that residence, and it does seem to be used as a drug lab. So Angela Bolawana, our reporter, is out there. If there are any new developments around that, we will, of course, bring that to you. Well, health workers at the Gutsong Community Clinic in Carltonville on Gauteng's West Rand have no access to running water. The facility, which treats hundreds of patients every day, has to rely on water delivered in large containers. Nurses fetch water using buckets for use in the clinic. The maternity ward is most affected, as proper sanitation is needed when mothers deliver their babies. Ditaba Tsotetsi has the details.
The primary health care center is the first port of call for local residents. However, instead of being a place where health problems are treated, patients worry about contracting secondary infections. The Gutsong Community Clinic has been without running water for a long time, some say up to 2 years. There is a Jojo water tank on the site, but staff say it is always empty. The toilets are in a terrible state. Signs on the toilet doors state they are out of function. Despite the water crisis, there are long queues at the clinic, testament to the great demand for health care. Patients carry their own bottles of drinking water. Those we spoke to are at their wits' end.
My sister gave birth at the clinic last week. She was supposed to bath after giving birth, but she could not, as she was told that there is no water. Water is a big problem at the clinic. We are struggling. There is no water. Nothing. We don't feel okay that there is no water. Even the toilets are filthy, and it's not healthy for us.
The staff at the clinic use bins filled with water to do the laundry. Several bins have been placed outside the clinic building, full of dirty water from bloodstained sheets. This staff member says they are forced to work under unbearable conditions.
The main challenge here is water, more especially toilets, because patients cannot use filthy toilets, but they do not have a choice but to use them nonetheless. Dirty linen stays a very long time because of this water problem until it stinks.
Health experts say a primary health care center without running water could lead to an outbreak of disease. Dr. Juno Thomas from the National Institute for Communicable Diseases explains.
A lack of safe running water can result in the number of diseases in the population. And very importantly, we talk about diseases that cause infections in the gut and are transmitted from person to person or are transmitted by unsafe water. And this would include cholera, typhoid. Also, the lack of safe running water means that people can't practice good food hygiene.
Gauteng Health spokesperson Khutso Rabothata has acknowledged that there is a water crisis at the clinic.
The department had a contingency plan whereby the clinic accesses water through the JoJo tanks, and the municipality is supplying the clinic with water. The municipality is on site attending to the water issue.
The community says that they have complained to the municipality many times, but their pleas have fallen on deaf ears. SABC News has asked the Mirafong Local Municipality MMC for water, Mzwakhe Dlamini, for answers.
The Zamazamas around Khutso, they've damaged the pipe because they are doing an illegal mining. The clinic and the area around, they don't have water as we speak. Meantime, in the arrangement, we are supplying them with the JoJo tank water. And so our plan is to reroute this particular main line so that it can be within the street, within the community, for its protection.
While government drags its heels on resolving this matter, it's the patients whose lives remain at risk.
We are going to take a legal way in order to resolve this matter because it's a ticking time bomb. Community is intending to revolt violently. But we've said, no, let us use a legitimate way so that we can put the Human Rights Commission to be part of this problem.
And that, of course, a report here about what's happening in Khutsong and water crisis, it says, happening there. And that report was by Ditaba Tsotetsi. And water crisis at the clinic. What exactly does that mean? And I think perhaps we should seek more answers. And given that water is a basic human right, one has to ask about all the lapses in providing this basic services across the country, not only in certain areas and, of course, urban areas where these issues are highlighted more starkly. So quite something to follow up on there. And it's 12 minutes before one. Let's bring you another story also regarding the land situation, and this is in the Western Cape. Now, a farmer who was among the first to transfer land to his labourers is embarking on a process of mediation to rescue the failing business project. Now, farm owner at Nelson's Creek near Paarl, Alan Nelson, says that the 1996 venture, where he transferred 14 hectares of land to farm workers, needs an independent arbitrator to be revitalised. 16 families were given 10% of the land that they had helped farm successfully. Tandiswa Mau has the details.
50-year-old Danji Yachman has been a farm worker all his life. He says 1996 for him should have been the start of a new life as a landowner and wine producer. With the benefit of hindsight, he says the project was doomed to fail. Yachman says there were too many partners and there was no management structure. He says beneficiary fellow farm workers wanted to share the money with nothing to invest towards the business. Yachman says the group didn't share the same vision for their new project, aptly named New Beginnings.
Everybody have to wait until there is money to provide for them. Not if the company makes 300,000 rand, we must share it. No, you must have to wait until your bag is full of the, or the cow is fat. And then you can decide, maybe give the people some of this money. Because you don't know what will happen in the future with your farm. They can come a storm, and then what will you do?
In the first 3 years of ownership, New Beginnings produced top quality wines. But he says one of the owners disappeared with thousands of rands in profit and a tractor. They never recovered. Out of the 16 original families who started New Beginnings, only three are still interested in farming. Owner of Nelson Wine Estate, Alan Nelson, says communal ownership with an equal share arrangement proved disastrous.
What we did at the time is we transferred 20% of our productive land to all of our then staff in equal shares in a communal property association, and I think that was a big mistake. And what I should have done in retrospect is I should have identified only the few that really want to farm and put them in charge of the land, and I think things would have been very different, because at the end of the day there was a lot of infighting between all of the equal shareholders with nobody being in charge, and it didn't work.
Nelson says the farm workers are looking for new partners to kickstart the project again.
And I'm really hoping that we can bring in a partner of colour that has the necessary business skills, and that we can generate somehow funds so we can find funds somehow to revitalize the project, replant the vineyards and put them on a proper basis. It was really my commitment at the time to my staff to give them a better life.
The 14 hectares of fertile land is now lying idle, but still holds much promise. I'm Thandiswa Mawe in Cape Town.
Well, a few more of your messages coming through. Justice for All at Unati Kwaza says, but Sakina, Dalil can't do as she pleases. Otherwise, she better revive her old party. And let's be fair, says, yet the Free State leader of the DA was also at that memorial service. Opa Kangela Baloy says, Sakina, me thinks the DA is being unfair to Dalil on chastising her for attending the memorial service of Winnie hosted by the EFF. I see nothing wrong in that. It's way too far from attending the rally or birthday party. It's a memorial service after all. And Tabang says, process? What stupid process should a person follow to seek permission to attend a memorial service? The DA must stop being self-righteous at the expense of humanity. And Edward says, I think because the DA leads some of the metros courtesy of the EFF, they shouldn't try to hang Dalil for attending the Winnie Mandela Memorial led by the Red Brigade. Some of the comments regarding that. Clonie then asked, how much does SAFTU suggest workers should be paid per hour? And of course, if we can get through to them, we will put that question to them. Khotso says, this is just frustrating, really. Patients now have to bring water with them when they go to the clinic. And unfortunately, that practice is more widespread than we think. And it's not just clinics. In some instances, it's happening at schools. It's happening across the board. So, as I said, it's a human rights issue because water is a basic human right, an inalienable right. So it is something that needs to be addressed, I think, from more angles than what we are seeing currently. It's 7 minutes before one. Residents of the newly established municipalities in the Eastern Cape want the provincial government to reverse the merger of certain municipalities in the province. This is as some of the municipalities are on the verge of collapse and battling with a number of challenges. They were merged after the 2016 municipal elections in order to fast track service delivery and to generate more revenue. The affected municipalities are Alice-based Raymond Mhlaba, Komani-based Enoch Ngijima, Aliwal North-based Walter Sisulu, and the Dr. Beyers Nodia, which is based in Graaf-Reinet. Makaya Komisa has more.
The new municipalities in the Eastern Cape were established to bolster service delivery and to bring services closer to the people. However, political instability and lack of skills have crippled them. Some fed-up residents of Raymond Mhlaba, Enoch Mkijima and Walter Sisulu municipalities say the establishment of these municipalities have hampered service delivery and collapsed the local economy.
This Raymond Mhlaba municipality has really frustrated the community of Bedford. We have not benefited anything. We are better off as former Ngoba, former Stad. Nothing is, there's no accountability, nothing of some sort. We prefer Ngoba and we go back to former Ngoba because nothing is happening in terms of service delivery.
The situation in Enoch Mkijima is very dire. It's very serious. We are a municipality in crisis. We are a municipality that cannot sustain itself. We are a municipality that is not being assisted even by Kokta, although Kokta was the one that facilitated the merger.
The ANC is equally concerned, as the provincial secretary, Lulama Ngukaitobi, has attributed the crisis in the new municipalities to lack of leadership, poor planning and inadequate budget.
Critical problem at the center of their problems is the issue of the leadership, visionary leadership, that will be able to carry the burden of integration in those particular municipalities, of the services to the people, but secondly, of ensuring that there is harmonization of the workers, equal pay for equal work. So immediately those that does not do that, then it's creating problems.
programs. But we have invited the MEC for COCTA. There's a necessity to also integrate the MEC for finance, such that they are able to capitalize those particular areas of integration that have not been completed, such that those particular municipalities are able to run their own course without any assistance from anyone.
Provincial COCTA MEC Figle Kasa says he has established a team of experts to assist these municipalities.
We are establishing a team of specialists in the field of finance, engineering, as well as legal services. This team will be deployed in all the four municipalities to assist them so that they can recover financially. They can as well be able to deliver basic services to communities.
The Provincial Cooperative Governance Department has asked the national government to increase the budget of the new municipalities so that they can be able to sustain their projects. I'm Makaya Komisa in the Eastern Cape.
And it would be good to hear from people in those affected communities, you know, what their views are, how have these mergers worked or not worked for them. But let's take a listen to some of your voice notes on 0826923909.
With regards to the clinic in Carltonville without water, really, 24 years into the democracy, let's take the National Minister of Health to court. These people of the ANC, you know what? It's like they're demon possessed. It's like you're talking about another country, not South Africa. South Africa used to be a better place before 94. I mean, I'm a black person, but I can tell you, we never had clinics like this.
So those are some of the voice notes coming through there. And just taking a look at some of the other messages coming through via the other platforms. Bulela Vava says, this is the reality for many rural communities. Clinics often run out of water and they rely on rainwater in tanks in order to function. And I worked and treated under these conditions. We made it work. Urban folk have one advantage, and that is a sense of urgency. Kineo says, how do you expect the DA to understand why we want land if they don't understand how black people honor the dead? Today, the ANC wants people to start food gardens, but there's no land to plant. Where are we really supposed to plant? Sloni Nyetanyane says, the new beginnings of farming project is the reason Malema is saying that land requires educated people. Now you have 14 hectares of land lying fallow because our people were given land, shared the money, and then disappeared. And Zandile Dubazana says, Mama Winnie was the mother of the nation. Ms. Dalil knew her very well. The DA must just relax on this. There's nothing with her attending the memorial, regardless of who organized it. And then I see a message about some issues around the Madibeng local municipality and trying to get more details on what is happening there. We understand that there might have been some workers who have stormed the office of the municipal manager. And this relates, as we understand, to the leasing of hundreds of cars, which have cost the municipality around 14 million rand a month. So we are trying to get more information on that. That's one of the messages coming through from you. But we will follow up and try and get details regarding that story. And just a few more voice notes and comments.
Morning, SK. Afternoon, SK. I wonder why DA behaves like a child. Because Patricia de Lille last year attending a birthday of Winnie Madikizela Mandela. They didn't complain. Julius Malema is there. Dalim Mpofu is there. And Cyril Ramaphosa is there. I wonder why Patricia de Lille attended the memorial service of Winnie Madikizela Mandela yesterday, and DA now is starting to complain. I don't know, problem is for EFF, or a problem is the DA.
And that is how we come to the end of today's show. But before we go, I understand we did manage to get through at least to someone at the Madibeng municipality, as we understand a breaking story there where the office of the municipal manager has been stormed. And we are joined now by Ikhomotseng. Ikhomotseng, good afternoon and thanks for speaking to us.
Good afternoon, Shakina, and good afternoon to the listeners. Thanks for having me.
Ikhomotseng, please tell us, I understand you are with SAMWU. Is that correct?
That's correct, ma'am.
And what is going on at the Madibeng municipality at the moment?
Okay, the situation here is there is a contract that the municipality has signed. And that contract was signed in consultation with the labor movement. And we feel as the labor movement, because the contract includes fleet that is going to be used by personnel in this municipality, we should have been engaged on the terms of the contract. Now, what we did as a labor movement is we wrote a letter to the municipal manager to say, can you please provide us with a copy of the contract? Because once it's signed, it means it can be viewed for public consumption. Now, what the municipal manager did, he did not respond. Now, the workers united in an action to go to the office of the municipal manager and demand that particular contract. Now, the situation is a bit hostile now, because in our engagement with the municipal manager, because he actually came out, we asked the municipal manager if we could sit and engage so that we can manage the situation that we have right now. And his response was just sour grapes. What he said to us is that we must go to hell for all we care.
We're going to leave it there for the time being. Our news team will definitely follow up on this story. Thank you so much, Ikhomo Tseng, who is a member of SAMWU. And this is a breaking story. SAMWU workers in the Madibeng local municipality have stormed the offices of the local municipal manager. And this is about a lease contract that they are unhappy about, saying that they were not consulted and they are demanding to see the details of the contract that was signed. So news will pick up on that story, no doubt. Thank you so much for tuning into Update at Noon. We'll do it again tomorrow.